artist. Are you struggling with getting people to listen to your music?
Do you need a bigger fan base?
Real Rap Promo is here to help you. Log on to www.realrappromo.com today to see how they can help you with all your promo and marketing needs.
Real Rap Promo.
P.S. Use the promotional code RADIO at checkout to get 20% off on all services.
Oh, yeah. K1's Radio, what's good? What's happening? Hold on, let me get my screen right over here. What's happening on my main? What up? My main shot. What's happening, K100 Radio? What's good? www.k100radio.com. I'm your host, Blizzom. Thanks, buddy, for tuning in to the show. We're here with more Direct Line interviews today. I want to welcome everybody that's listening. Thank you. Shout out to everybody that's checking me out over on Facebook Live right now. I appreciate it. 347-934-0966. That's the number down to the show. Again, 347-934-0966. That's the number down to the show. I appreciate everybody rocking with us once again, man. You know, over here at our Direct Line interviews, what we do with K1's Radio is we chop it up with artists, producers, DJs, a plethora of people, and we just kind of pick their brain and see what's good with them. We have a direct conversation over the phone lines. Get it? Direct line. You see what we did there? What's that? All right. So, again, if you want to holler at my guest, you can call in and talk to us live at 347-934-0966. Again, that's 347-934-0966. That's the number that you can hit the phone lines with. Again, follow us at K100_radio. You see that on the screen. K100radio.com. Go and download our mobile apps. You can listen to us for free 24/7. We're also listed on the TuneIn app, but we have apps on Android and iPhone. So, you know, in the App Store and Google Play. So go ahead and search us up, download us. You got quick links to get to that over at K100radio.com. Again, I appreciate everybody rocking with us. Let's jump into this joint. Our first, and we got three of these back-to-back. We're going back-to-back today. Back-to-back, yeah. You know what I'm saying? First off, I want to welcome, every now and then, we talk to different people, like I said, producers. And I love talking to my producer friends. So right now, we've got a super producer on the phone line. We got the homie James Worthy in the building. What's going on, homie? What's happening?
What's popping, man? Blessings, brother.
Well, thank you for calling into K1's Radio. Thank you for being our guest. It's the first time you've actually been on our broadcast. You feel me? But
I'm pretty sure
it won't be the last time. And we've ran into each other numerous times. But now we can have a real conversation outside of the event and the melee that's going on at the moment.
Sir.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
you feel
sir.
Me?
Yes,
so what's
sir.
Going on, bro?
Get to it.
All right. Oh, so go ahead. I'm going to let you do it yourself. I'd like for my guests to introduce themselves to the listening audience. Shout out to Juwanda checking us out on Facebook Live. Way to Will just checked in. Savage 7 just checked in. What's going on over there on Facebook Live? Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience and our viewers on Facebook Live. Go ahead.
Okay. What's going on Facebook Live? I'm the Grammy nominated songwriter, model, actor, James Worthy. I've been in the game for roughly about 9 years now, going strong. Work with a lot of your favorite artists. Got a lot of hit records out, man. So just working, man. That's it.
Already. So and you said that so matter of factly, like so real nonchalant, like yeah, I work with you know what I'm saying. I mean, I don't like, you know, people don't like when everybody like name drop or whatever. But I mean, come on, man, you know what I'm saying. You've done a lot, you know what I'm saying. It's okay to brag on K1 Real. It's okay to talk a little shit. That's why we here. You know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, you know, man. You know, I'm a humble guy. You know, I keep it to everybody checking out the music for themselves. But you know, I don't work with people from. Bobby Brown to Whitney Houston to Yo Gotti to Truth Hurst, Dr. Dre, Future, who else? Man, just so many of them, bro. I can't even list them all.
I know, right? So, listen, the guy's been working. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody whose catalog of people he's worked with is not to be trifled with. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that's going on. There's been an explosion, a change in the way people produce. And we're going to talk about all of that. You feel me? I guess the first thing I want to ask you as a producer, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you know this, but I'm a producer myself. You know what I'm saying? So I like talking
awesome.
To the producer. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people don't know that I'm a producer. You know what I'm saying? And
That's dope.
It's one of these things when people meet me as K100 Radio, they don't know everything about me. You know what I'm saying? They don't know I'm an artist and a producer and an engineer. You know what I'm saying? So I produce myself. So I really love having these in-depth conversations because sometimes I kind of get a little bit technical. I'm not going to try to talk over anybody's head or anything, but sometimes producers start talking and we forget other people listening who have no idea what the hell we just said. So I try not
That's
to do
true.
that. I try not to do that. You know what I'm saying? But what I will ask you is, for the people who listen who might be interested, let's jump into a little bit of the technical side. Where do you see production going right now in this new era? People are saying, listen, Fruity Loops, digital laptops, that's all you need. But then you've got some producers who want to just really keep it classic. I went to a session not too long ago with someone, and they still was using an MPC. They still had a whole lot of analog gear set up, and they was just like, look, the feel is just, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I sat in on sessions with the Justice League before, you know what I'm saying, engineer sessions with the Justice League, and saw how those guys produce. And those guys are literally coming in there with live instruments still. You know what I'm saying? Literally playing it in the record and all kinds of different, you know, that's why the tracks sound amazing. People think they did that in Fruity Loops and Reason. I'm like, nah, bro, I actually sat in on a session and seen them produce a track. Those guys go to the next level. So where do you think production and producers are going and the value of a producer? You know what I'm saying? Because you've got some guys that can come in with a laptop and crush the building. And some guys need a whole room of gear. What do you feel about that?
That's true. Man, I mean, I'm a big firm believer of working with what works for you a lot of times. But at the same time, you got a lot of people who really don't know the meaning of being a producer as well. So it's kind of 50-50 because, you know, you got guys that come in and they may have a laptop and Fruity Loops and just make beats on the fly like that, but that doesn't necessarily make you a producer. So if you got guys coming in like Justice League, where these guys are actually bringing in orchestras and live musicians and incorporating it to their style of production, you know, that takes you to a whole nother stratosphere when it comes to the production side of things. But for me, you know, I'm a fan of programs. You know, I'm a big advocate of Reason, which I still use today.
Me too.
For production software, I do use Logic, you know, for certain purposes. And I do use hardware as well. So, you know, you got your NPCs and you got your, you know, your Roland Phantom keyboards and you got your machines and all of that stuff, man. So it's important to know really all of it. But then again, it's important to know what works for you.
Right, exactly. Good answer. I'm a Reason guy myself. You know what I'm saying? I actually use Reason in the production of this show also. I'm so used to using Reason. I actually use it while I'm producing this live segment and everything. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
I use
awesome.
for various things, but I also produce with Reason. That's my tool of choice. Although I came from I'm older, you know what I'm saying? So I came from the analog era where my first piece of production gear was an MPC 2000 XL. So I learned on the MPCs and meeting up a Phantom and with a Triton. You know what I'm saying? That's where I learned, and you know, but I learned quicker than most that the moving over to the digital era was just easier. You know what I'm saying? And not to be lazier,
definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Not to be lazy, but just for me, tracking out and going to the studio and doing it just made some things just a lot simpler. So I just kind of once it came in and I got, was it Reason 3? Reason 3 was what took me over. I was like, you know what? I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Reason 3 was the one that made me kind of just dive on in with the whole digital era. You know what I'm saying?
Now to everybody who doesn't know about Reason, when you open up Reason, it's intimidating. So when you open it up, just know that you're going to see a whole lot of buttons and wires and all kind of stuff, man. These are for people who really know about hardware, and all it is just put into a program. That's all it is.
That's what won me over. You know, the cables. When I toggled it, and when I first seen someone use it and they toggled it to the back and flipped it over and showed me the cables as an engineer too, I was sold. I was like, oh, whoa, stop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what got me.
That's what got me in. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going for it. So talking to a producer understands that when that was like groundbreaking to me. I was like, holy shit. You know what I'm saying? I got to try this. You know what I'm saying? And recently I've kind of dabbled with Machine a little bit, and I like it because it gives you like a MPC feel sort of kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have to still use a sequencer in you know, inside the computer. You don't have to, but it's good that you do it. But I like it. And I'm thinking about playing with it more, but still, I think we both using the same baby. You know what I'm saying right now?
Yeah, man. And, you know, and I kind of dibble and dabble in other applications as well. So, you know, I like Machine sometimes. I like Ableton.
Right.
You know, Logic has good filters on there as far as, you know, when I'm doing my drums or whatever kind of sound I'm going for, you know, I kind of use Logic to kind of filter my drums a little bit just to kind of make it fat. Depending on what I'm trying to do. But, you know, there's a lot of good programs out there, man.
Right. So let's jump into another question. It's kind of a spin-off of something that you said earlier. This is K100 Radio. I'm your host, Blizzum. Thanks, brother, for tuning in to the show. 347-934-0966. If you got any question that you ever wanted to ask a super producer, somebody that's really in the game producing tracks for people, we're talking about we're gonna jump into placements and all kinds of stuff. How did he meet these people? Everything. But if you got a direct question you want to ask them, the number's right there on the screen if you're watching on Facebook Live, if you're listening. 347-934-0966. Hit that phone line, man. We built this platform so you can actually directly talk to these people, not for you to just sit back and hear them talk. Call in, ask them a question. We'll let you come on the air live. You got to do it right now, though. All right, so another question, something that you said earlier, James Worthy. You said that, well, you kind of alluded to the difference between a beat maker and a producer. So I got to ask you this. We understand what a producer is. You know, sometimes a producer may not even touch a drum machine or sequence a track. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes they just kind of really, you know, we understand the real term producer and the difference between producer and a beat maker. Now, you yourself, you consider yourself a producer, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Right. So, when you're producing, how do you, tell me the difference between when you're working with an artist and an artist is actually in their session working with you when y'all crafting something together, or you kind of in yourself in room by yourself and you just vibing and you kind of building a track, you're making a track, and then you want to take it out and shop it to an artist, or you want to give it to an artist that you plugged in with, and you're like, yo. To me, that's two totally different experiences, and the music comes out totally different. You know what I'm saying? What's your preference? What's your preference as a producer when you're talking about working with someone?
I mean, for me, man, the biggest thing is the chemistry and the vibe. So if I can kind of catch what you do and what your integrity is with your music and what your sound is, and if it complements what I bring to the table, then, you know, to me, that's a perfect marriage. So I know a lot of times when producers go into the studio with artists, sometimes it's the first time meeting them. Sometimes they haven't really heard their music before like that, so you're kind of going in blind. So with me, I like to not only build a relationship with an artist, but I would like to at least kind of study, you know, what's the mind frame of what they went through to make their type of music. You know, what's the signage, what's the direction of the sound that they're going for, so I know exactly, okay, I can either do that or go above and beyond to make something that hasn't even been done on that plethora of music yet. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of just depends on the situation. Me, I have so many ideas running through my mind, you know, for a different artist. So it may be something where, man, I want to infuse pop, rock, R&B, hip hop. Then I go to a next artist and there's nothing but dubstep, EDM, pop, then another artist is nothing but 80s, 90s straight R&B with a twist. You know, you just never know.
Right. So let's talk about placement.
Let's do it.
How did you get your first placement? Who was it with? What was the track that you felt like put you in the game, and how did you get that off? How did you get from just being a guy like everybody else, me and everybody else, who's just producing, and we got this catalog that we're building and we're networking, we're doing all that. But what was the track and what was the instance that got you to the point where it started really just putting your name out there in the industry real heavy? What was the one?
Well, how it first started was there was a guy by the name of Solly Williams that I know still to this day. He's a record producer out of Houston, Texas. Done a lot of hits with Mike Jones, Paul Wall, Slim Thug, you know, everybody coming out of Swisher House, you know, all the Texas guys. So just so happens that his sister is my next door neighbor, actually still to this day. And she's the one that introduced us. You know, he listened to my music. He really kind of gave me an insight on what it really was to be a producer. And, you know, he plays a lot of instruments as well. So he kind of gave me that cosign of, you know, okay, you know, you're on the right track. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Put me in contact with a couple different people. And then after he did that, I started working with Young Bird. And at this time, Young Bird, I believe he was doing his mixtape series called Twitter Music. And this is when Twitter first came out and just started getting hot. So on Twitter, he gave out his personal email for people to send in beats. You know, I happened to see it on Twitter and, you know, I shot him an email with a couple tracks. And he ended up using one of the tracks, which is a song called Electric Disco that he did on one of the mixtapes. And right then and there, man, that's just kind of how it started.
All right. So you said a couple of interesting things. Now, here's the first thing. Let me stop. Because oftentimes we always tell artists, producers, whatever, you know what I'm saying, social media is cool, but it ain't going to get you on. So I want to be clear that basically your first opportunity to get a major placement as a producer came from Twitter. Pretty much.
Right.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I want to make sure I heard that right, because you're going to have people swear me down and tell me all the time, man, Facebook ain't a waste of time, man. You got to get out here in these streets. You got to grind. And you do. You got to go out. You got to network. But I'm talking to a producer who's worked with so many people, who's really in the game, who's tied in, and he's telling me that his first major placement came from a Twitter response. So I just want to make sure we that's what happened with this guy.
Yeah, man, it even tripped me out, man. You know,
I just wanna make sure.
A lot of times, man, it's word of mouth and all kind of stuff, man. But you know, it's a particular situation, man. Just sending beats through the email through Twitter, man. Who would ever knew?
Exactly. That's my point. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here like, so you basically, he's saying that he got his first placement through Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here listening, like I'm waiting for the elaborate story where you met this guy and then y'all was in the club and y'all was in the studio and he just said, yeah, let's just go back to the lab and then it happened like that. Like we hear these kind of amazing, almost unbelievably amazing situations where this is how you got your first placement. And you're like, nah, he posted a link on Twitter and I hit him back. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I went down.
Yeah, short and simple.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. But I like that story. It's almost believable and not. You know what I'm saying? At the same time. You know what I'm saying? 347-934-0966. We're talking to super producer James Worthy, man. So let me fast forward to another topic. All right. So check this out. Where is production going? And I also want to talk about the relationship between the producer and the artist. Because see, there's this triangle, and it's undeniable when it comes to making and breaking music. You know what I'm saying? Between the artist, the producer, and the DJ, the person who plays the record and breaks it. You know, other platforms, of course, but we're just gonna talk about these three: artist, producer, DJ. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the way that producers now move their beats and everything now, because you got ever since the SoundClick era, MP3, MySpace era came in, where cats started digitally slanging beats and became internet heroes and making lots of money, some of them, you know what I'm saying, thousands of dollars per month, literally living off music because they had a beat site that was popping from leases and everything. That totally changed the game. So first of all, where are you at with being a producer as someone of your caliber? How do you deal with independent artists? Are you down with the beat site and leasing beats to multiple people, you know what I'm saying, and for non-exclusive rights? Or are you like, nah, I'm not really doing that. I'm just kind of placing mines here and there. I know you're at a level where you don't really necessarily need to do that, or maybe you do. But what do you think about producers who are doing that? Because some people say, I have this argument all the time. You got cats to say, man, there's no way I'm leasing my beats out for $30. No way, man. My production takes too long. That's crazy. And then you got your beats out here floating all the way around. You know what I'm saying? Then it could be that hot. And then, you know, a major artist, like, I don't even want to jump on it because you got 1,000 indies on there with that shit on SoundCloud already. So tell me what you feel about that. What do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I mean, real early in my career, you know, I used to be the one to do that. You know, I used to lease a couple beats online, you know, sell them for $30, $40 and make, you know, a couple bucks here and there doing that. But, you know, as I started getting more major placements and working with a lot of different artists, you know, it was more of a thing dealing with labels and dealing with management. You know, it wouldn't be the smartest thing to let your best work be sold online. You know, you have to keep pretty much your work confidential, you know, to the artist that you're specifically working with, or you're just submitting, you know, through the label or whatnot and place them that way. So, you know, I'm guilty of it. I've done it before. You know, it's not really a bad thing. I think it's great, you know, when you're first starting out, just so people can hear your music and hear your style of production and get a couple bucks, you know, starting out. But, you know, once you start getting more professional into the business, you know, I don't think it will be the best way to go moving forward.
Okay. So do it until you get on, then stop.
Pretty much.
What about when you're sitting in there and you make a banger? It's undeniable. And you think it to yourself before you even get to the next level, you're like, man, this track could just be the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all you need is a Rick Ross. and it's it. It's gone. You know what I'm saying? That's all you need.
Right, right.
He's on it. And you're deciding at that moment, do I put this shit up for lease? Like, do I really want the world to hear this for fucking $39.99? Seriously? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's a dilemma sometimes, you know, and that's what, yeah, I had to learn sometimes. I was like, man, do I really want to put my best workout stuff that I don't even want to let people hear yet, put them online, or do I want,
right,
to make the quick money real quick? You know, that's a decision that you have to make. But, you know, my thing is, man, don't put all of your music out like that. You know, you got to save some for the catalog, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. Production isn't my first trade. Production was a trade that I picked up because I felt like I had the technical aptitude to do it. And, you know, I got tired of every time I just wanted to create, I got to go depend on somebody else to get me a beat. So I just kind of invested,
right,
in myself and sat in there. I played drums growing up in church, you know what I'm saying, as a little kid. So,
gotcha,
I already had – I could do the rhythm. I did play an instrument, which was drums. So that's why,
awesome,
that's why that's like most of my beats always have really great drum patterns, and everything else is why I struggle a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have to call keyboardists in because, you know, I'm not a keyboardist. And, you know, sometimes I even call live bass guys in if I can't pluck it out myself or find a dope sample. But so I say that to say – you know, I guess that's why me crafting beats is not easy like that. I don't go in there and make a beat in 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I never jumped onto the beat site movement because I don't crank them out enough like that to just keep updating the catalog. And also, I was just like, man, it took me too long to make this fucking beat and let a motherfucker get it for,
right,
25. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not a quick pattern going there, Fruity Loops drop pattern beat in there. Kind of producer, you know what I'm saying, that just dropped some sense, and that's not the kind of tracks that I made. So mine were always crafted and took so much longer to make. So I'm like, I got this catalog of beats, but like whole bunch of them that people haven't heard, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, I ended up, so now it's like, well, I got a fucking 2-3 hard drives full of tracks, and they ain't did shit with them, and haven't really, they're not doing anything sitting on there. So
just sitting on a hard drive,
right? You know what I'm saying? So I understand both sides of it. I look at it both ways. I'm like, shit, you know, what if I get on? Then one day, what if I do meet a plug? And then one day I can sit here and play a whole bunch of beats, and they pick a whole bunch of them that no one's ever gotten before. I can make money then. So it's a lot of ways to look at the question, but I wanted to make sure I asked somebody who's actually in the game and kind of what path that you take. So you kind of took both of them. You did it, and then you kind of got on, and you good where you at right now, which is cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, man, you never know what's going to happen in this game. You know, things change so drastically every day.
Yeah.
So you never know what the blueprint is going to be. You can meet somebody, you know, right now or in the next 30 minutes, man, and boom, you got a placement. You know, you,
right,
never know.
So the relationship between the artist and the producer right now, what do you feel is that? Because you've got DJs with record deals. You know what I'm saying? Where is the producer at right now? Because a lot of people, and then with 360 deals and all kind of different ways that the game has changed.
Yeah.
What's the best way that you can tell a producer to make sure they get paid? You know what I'm saying? What's the one thing that you don't want to do when you walk into a room as an up and coming artist and you sit down for your first placement? What is it that you don't want to do? Do you not want to give up all your publishing? Do you, the mechanicals? How do you handle the situation? What's some advice you can give someone?
Well, I mean, on an artist standpoint, of course, nobody wants to give up all their publishing. But,
right,
if you're signing to a major label, you know, you basically have no choice. You know, they're definitely going to want to take a piece of the pie. But you have to – and you know what? This is what I always tell artists is, let's say if you sign a 360 deal it's a 50-50 thing, because if you sign a 360, yeah, they're taking a percentage of pretty much everything that you do, but you have that platform and you have the machine behind you. But then again, let's say you start to selling units, you're going to make a return. So if depending on the return that you make and the numbers that you do, everything is renegotiable. So you can renegotiate that contract for them to take a lesser percentage. And that's the best way to go when you're dealing with a major. But if you're doing strictly indie, you know, all you need to do is worry about getting a distribution deal for your music and for your project, and then you're good. You know, all you have to worry about is marketing, and then you're good.
Right. So what about the days of – one more question, and we're getting ready to come up on the 30-minute Mark. And man, these 30 minutes always go by so quick. Like, it doesn't feel
so
like we
fast,
can talk,
man.
You know what I'm saying? So fast. And there's so much more stuff that we could cover. But where are you? Where is the production company? I remember back like in the late 90s, it was all about production companies. Production companies signed people, and then the production companies who had the plug, and then they went out and they shopped the deal or whatever. Now I'm seeing people totally just bypass the production company altogether. Like, yo, just give me beats. I ain't trying to sign your production company. I'm either doing it myself or going straight to the man. I haven't seen just those big juggernaut production companies who it was in the 90s. It was the production companies who low-key was running the game. Where is that
That's
at
true.
Now? What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? I mean, some of that is obsolete right now because everything is accessible a lot more. So, you know, you can have a direct contact with either an artist or a major label. You know, so as long as you have a package with a product, you can walk up to a label and it's like, hey, I got this, I got that. You know, this record is moving. You know, the label's going to be like, okay, maybe this is something that we can make some money off of. Cool. Sign this deal. You know, you bypassing the middleman. A lot of things, man. It's not even just that, you know. It's with even going back to making production. You know, everything is accessible to making things easier. You know, so the hard work, people don't have to really go through that anymore. You know, because everything is really right there.
Right, I guess the convenience of it all. I guess I understand that. You know what I'm saying? And I get it, but you know. For me, it's just like, man, you know, everything has just really changed. I remember it just seems like producers had so much more power in the 90s, and now it's just been diminished.
Yeah.
Because being a producer,
yeah,
is,
you know what?
A lot.
And this is the thing. It wasn't a lot of indie labels at the time. It was only four major labels, and you had to find your way within those four labels. And with the exception of those production companies who had the connection to the major labels, which you couldn't get to them yourself, so it made things a lot more confidential in doing business. But now, shoot, you can do any damn thing now. You know, as long as you take a meeting with somebody, you good.
Yeah, you can actually hit them up on Twitter and boom.
Exactly.
There we have
it. Shoot them an email and it's a done deal.
Right. All right, man. Thank you, man. Yo, give out your, if you want to. If anybody's trying to work with you or maybe get with you about placements or just follow you on social media, if you have a website, please give us all that information real quick and some parting words, and we can move on to our next interview, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on your show. Everybody, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at King James Worthy, and you can find me on Facebook at James A. Worthy. I'll follow you back, like you back, all of that good stuff, man. Hit me up.
All right, man. That's what's up, man. The homie producer James Worthy's in the building. You guys chill out. You guys pause. Don't go nowhere. This is K100 Radio. Direct line interviews. We got three of them for you today. Coming up, we got International Nova. You dig? You guys hang around real quick. Don't go anywhere. Let me drop this little ad, pay a bill right quick, and we're going to come right back. You dig? Pause for the cause. This is K100 Radio. You dig? Yeah.
Marabubble Entertainment presents Juice Box Volume 1, the hottest mixtape out now. Get a free copy exclusively on DownloadJuiceBox.com. That's DownloadJuiceBox.com. DownloadJuiceBox.com. It's a 10-minute, 6-track dope beat and freestyle on throwbacks. Plus, you get a bonus single, all female rappers for free.
All female rappers whacking, all female rappers naked, want all female rappers shaking.
Just visit DownloadJuiceBox.com for full screen lyrics, videos, and more. DownloadJuiceBox.com. That's DownloadJuiceBox.com. More information, visit TamaraBubble.com and remember to follow her on all social media at TamaraBubble. Bubble on deck.
This is your boy Lil Wayne.
Hey, what's up? This is your boy Chris Brown.
K100 Radio.
Brand new.
Music first.
And we're back. K100 Radio, what's going on? 347-934-0966. Shout out to Brad DiBiase checking in over there on Facebook Live. What's going on, man? Thanks, everybody, for rocking with us over here for another one of our direct line interviews. Appreciate you guys for rocking with us, man. Again, 347-934-0966. That's the number that you can dial into the show to hit us up if you want to chat with our guests. We just had producer James Worthy on the phone lines. Gave some really good advice and some good feedback. And, you know, just talked about just what it's like being a producer then and now. Great conversation. It'll be up on SoundCloud soon. Right now, up next. We got artist extraordinaire. International Nova's in the building. Yo, what's going on, bro?
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
What's good, man? Thank you for rocking with us. Welcome to K100 Radio for the first time. Won't be the last.
Man, thank you for having me, man. I definitely appreciate that.
Go ahead, man. You got the floor. Introduce yourself to us and tell us who you be. Go ahead, dog.
Well, you know, my name is International Nova. I'm a rapper, actor, model, producer from the Bronx, New York. You know what I'm saying? Recently relocated to Atlanta. And just out here putting some work in, man, doing some movies, doing some music, trying to get my hands on everything, man.
I know, man. The work is – the grind is real. You again, our last guest was humble. They're like, yeah, you know, it's just – you know what I'm saying? And you guys got all this stuff going on. And then you tell them who you is, y'all be like, nah, nah, nah.
Man, shout out to my brother. That's my brother too, man, James Worthy, man. Shout out to him.
Yeah, man, you've done a lot for independent artists, man. You know what I'm saying? You've done more than most. You know what I'm saying? You've graced the stage with a plethora of people, man. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, let's see, you've done performances with Flo Rida, Mario, Pitbull, Rick Ross, Lil Wayne. You feel me? You had business with Stephon Marbury, all kinds of stuff,
yes, sir.
Man. So, you ain't just, just jumping to this game. You're not new to it. You know what I'm saying? Wet behind the ears, baby. You feel me? You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy being an independent artist, man, and being able to, I've been signed to a couple of different major labels, but, you know, for the most part, the grind has been indie. And being able to share the stage with, those type of artists and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, when it comes to different genres, I think it's definitely given me a very bright light, but at the same time, it's made me very humble, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. So, right now, where you at with your career, tell me what you got going on. I know you got a project you're working on. You're doing new music. Now, the first time we actually met during A3C weekend, and we were both on a panel. It was a lot of stuff that we were talking about and discussing on the panel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was the first time that we met. You know, that's how this whole thing got put in motion. But right now, as an artist, where are you at with it as far as creating, and where are you at with it as far as getting your music out there? What is your path of choice? Are you're going full indie, of course, it seems like. Or are you trying to maybe work with a major? Let us know what you're going to do with your new project. And what would you suggest the artist do?
Well, with my last project, I was recently signed to Spectra Records. At the time they had me, they had Dave Tolliver, Adina Howard, Fredo Starr. They had a major distribution through Warner Brothers. But I recently ran out of my contract. I wasn't looking to re-sign. At this point, I'm kind of going forward indie. But I'm trying to find the best situation possible. If a major label come to the table and they talking the right numbers, then, we'll see what happens. But right now, I think I've been in this industry so long, man, that, the being signed to a major label, that whole little trip and that whole little dream that these artists have, to me, not really a big deal anymore. As long as you've got your marketing team, you got your promotion team with you, you got some distribution, which I already have, then you're good to go.
So you said, and you just you named off a litany of artists that everybody's always heard of that was on a label, and
yeah,
I didn't know anything about it. That was new to me. That was news to me to hear that they were all actually on that label at that moment, and you were actually on the label. So I call those indie majors where they're independent labels, but they got all these major artists. You know what I'm saying? And they have these kind of plugs that just the average run of mill. Up-and-coming upstart indie label doesn't have. I call them indie majors. So, I'm not. That's what I call them. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's what I call them.
I like that.
I kind of like those situations, but then I've seen those go bad so many times because it's like, for me, I've seen that where you have people on there who have been stars, who have had hits or whatever, and they expect for this indie situation to move like it was when they had a hit single. You know what I'm saying? They were touring around the world, and that's where it goes kind of crazy because the expectations never really build back up to when they had this level of stardom. So I've seen that. I like that situation because it can really pop off if everybody can keep egos in check, but I've seen that kind of go left so many times. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think what it is, man, I think a lot of artists don't adapt to the times. You know what I'm saying? Like me, you know, personally, I came up under a lot of people that was popping back when I was just starting. You know what I mean? I was under the Cool Mo D's and the Cold Crush Brothers and, you know, Grand Wizard Theodore's and Grandmaster Caz. So I grew up in that little environment where it was where hip-hop originated from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then being around my brother, Tony Sunshine and Terror Squad, I seen it evolve to what it was. And when I started doing my own thing, you know, for me it was a little different because that kind of made my mark overseas and had a number one record and number two record overseas in a couple of different countries before, you know, people on my own block even knew that I was rapping back home. So
right.
I was able to kind of, you know, look at things and learn things from a different point of view and really learn the business, you know what I'm saying, and learn how to adapt to the new way of doing business in the music industry. And I think that's what helped me a lot of times, man. And I think with those type of situations, with those indie majors, like you just said, those artists not necessarily have adapted to the new age of doing things, but, you know, they come from big major labels and they were huge stars at one time where everything was done to them. And I think now, you know, nowadays you kind of have to do for yourself. And
right.
sometimes those type of situations, these indie major situations don't work out because – the artist itself is expecting it to be one way, and the indie major label, et cetera, is running things how these new labels run it. You know what I mean? And they expect the artist to do everything. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
you got a contrast of the artist hoping that the label does everything versus the label looking at the artist like, well, you got to do everything. You know what
yeah,
I mean? We're just giving you distribution.
Right. It's truly the age of DIY. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's a term for a reason, and it's a term that's thrown around a lot by a lot of people who don't want to do it yourself. They're like, "Ah, yeah, DIY. I'm a DIY." And you don't really want to do it yourself, though. You really don't want to do it yourself, though, for real.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You're
exactly.
just only kidding yourself, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because a real DIY musician and artist understands that you literally have to get out there and do it. You have to learn how to build your own website, learn how to upload
mm-hmm.
your own music. SoundCloud, you know what I'm saying? Learn how to book your own shows. Learn how to even, sometimes you have to even learn how to design your own cover for a second and learn Pro Tools. I did a post on social media the other day and I listed like five different softwares that I felt like you just need to basically not be experts at, but be a little bit proficient in 2016. It was Pro Tools, it was Photoshop.
That's real talk.
You know what I'm saying? It was Microsoft Word, it was Gmail. And it was what was the other one I had? I had to look at it, but you know what I'm saying. And it was like some basic stuff, you know. I was like, yo, these softwares are. Oh, it was Adobe Premiere or either Final Cut Pro. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yeah.
I said, if you know the basics of these softwares, not be an expert, but just know how to operate them just a little bit. I said you can become a real DIY musician and artist because then you can make your own IG promo reels. Then you can kind of, you know what I'm saying, make your own bios and EPKs, and you'll be able to maintain your own website. You know, you can get Wix or WordPress or something, and then you ain't got to call somebody
and
want to add a picture to a website. It's too easy. So this is the era of do-it-yourself because they made everything easy now, which is that.
It's funny, though, because I know when people meet me, they're surprised to know that I do all my own music. You know what I mean? I engineer my own music. I mix and master my own music. I do my own videos.
Right.
I edit my own videos. You know, so just like you said, you have to learn all that, man, because, you know, nowadays the normal independent artist, the average independent artist, doesn't have the money to go out and pay for studio time or go out
right.
and pay to get a song professionally mixed and mastered. So you,
right.
you have to learn these things, man. And for me, it was one of those situations where we were signed to I was in a group and we were signed to a production. And I know you were just talking about that with James, but we signed to a production company that then
right.
had distribution through a major. And we were coming home from being on the road and finding out that a lot of our records were getting leaked. And people were hearing the records before it was done. So
right.
it came to the point where I literally kicked out the engineer one day. And from then on, I had to force myself to learn how to engineer, how to mix our own records, how to master our own records. And for me, it was a great, great starting point because, you know, like you said, nowadays you have to know a little bit of everything.
Right. Yeah, you do. And you know what? That's what I never understood about how records leaked back in the day. Like back in the day, I'm talking about how does something get bootlegged back when you had ADAT? You know what I'm saying? You know how you
exactly.
ever, most people can't even come here and turn that fucking machine on. Somebody in this room leaked it. You know what I'm saying? Even now, like, even somebody has to bounce that track out of Pro Tools. It has to get somebody in the camp has to be responsible for that. Like, you
I mean,
know,
a lot of times, that's the engineer, though. All right. I mean, even back in the day, the only people who had access to the 8-DACs was the engineers.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it was like, you know who asked you need to be if you get out. You feel me? Fuck the bootleg, man. Who asked you need to beat is whoever was engineering that session. I'm coming. That's, I'm surprised I don't hear more stories of engineers turning up dead in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, because no, see, I'm being real shit. Like, knowing what you know and knowing what I know about creating music, there's no way nothing gets leaked. You feel what I'm saying? There's no way nothing gets leaked without the engineers being involved. It just doesn't. It can't happen. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just never
understood. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But let's move on to another subject. And we'll talk about the music. K100Radio.com. I'm your host, Blizzum. Right now, we're on the live with International Nova, 347-934-0966. That's the number down to the show. Appreciate everybody checking us out on Facebook Live and everybody listening to us right here on K100 Radio on the broadcast. Dial into the program and ask them a question if you got a question that you want to ask them, man. You also alluded to the fact that you had your first hits was overseas, right? Tell me about that experience. You know what I'm saying? Like going overseas, and give me the contrast about what it's like to have a hit overseas as opposed to a hit in America.
You know, it's crazy, man. I always tell people the story, and the funny thing is it goes back to our music being leaked. And we had this record called I Just Wanna, and it had got leaked at the time, and I didn't even know about it. You know what I mean? It was at a point where, you know, the group was having issues. I wanted to leave the group, this and that.
Right.
And this is back in the MySpace days, and I just happened to go on MySpace, man, and I saw all these fans in different countries sending me messages and comments and things like that. So I started Googling, and I found that, you know, we was on different charts. You know, I found different websites and different languages playing our music, and, you know, me being who I am, man, I hit up all of these different sites. I'm like, yo, that's me. I mean, it's me and my crew. And, you know, kind of find out the record went all the way to the number one record on the DJ charts, international DJ charts, which is their version of the Billboard charts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Overseas market, you know, the DJs are – and it's funny. The overseas market really values hip-hop, man, and the five elements of hip-hop, not just the music element, but all five elements, band, single, CD, all of that. And for them, the DJs hold a huge, huge power when it comes to the music world. You know what I mean? And – it was crazy because, you know, we're used to having to be co-signed by 50 Cent, by Diddy, by this person, that person, to get a co-sign out here. Overseas, man, it's about quality music. And as long as you got some dope quality music, they support you. And I remember, man, we went out there, we had people at the airport waiting for us, we signing autographs. You know, I was Celebrity of the Week one time when I was out there, which was crazy to me because I'm just a kid from the Bronx, man. Like, you know, and it was dope to see the fact that people really value music, man. Quality music, because that's what I'm about, is doing quality. And I tell people all the time, man, it's quality over quantity. You know what I mean? I think that's what we kind of lost in music today.
So let me ask you this then. And I'm one of these people, you know, it's funny that, here's the thing. It's funny when you meet people, like you meet people, when I met both of you guys, James Worthy and you guys, and I met you guys. It's funny that when you see, at some point you'll realize that once you see people in certain situations, at certain places, that's doing things, there's a reason why they're there. There's a reason why you're on the panel, he's on the panel, I'm on the panel. So he didn't know that I was a producer, so I had to tell him that. He didn't know I was an artist and a producer and an engineer too. You know what I'm saying? I just put out a video not too long ago called Salt and Pepper that I pretty much edited myself. You know what I'm saying? I've done other editing. You know what I'm saying? I've directed documentaries, all kind of stuff. So I'm also a videographer too.
Nice.
You know, and so I got all these different skill sets, and I noticed that when you talk to different people and different artists, the ones with the real big skill sets are the ones that are making moves because you're able to do work independently without having to depend on someone. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with that being said, you said that you are into making great music, and I am too. I'm one of these people who didn't jump on the bandwagon of, oh, yeah, dumb it down, simplify it, because that's what's hot. I never got into that. You know what I'm saying? Which is probably why, as an artist, my career really didn't go necessarily to another level or whatever, because I just didn't want to. When the snap pop era came in, I just didn't want to make the kind of music that took over. You feel me? I was just like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to find something else to do. You know what I'm saying? And here we are. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just kind of went back to school and kind of upped my skill set to find some other stuff to do. You know what I'm saying? Preparing to do something like this, right? So, so what do you feel about when people say, well, you need to make this kind of music because that's what's popping, that's what's cracking. You saying, no, I'm going to make the kind of music that I want to make, and I'm going to make good quality music because you feel like that'll pass the test of time. But you have all these other people, industry people, that will tell you that's not the case. You do what's hot, and get on, and then you can do what you want to do. What do you feel about that?
I mean, me personally, I feel that's a two-way street. You know what I'm saying? I'm in music for the longevity, not to be popping for what's right now. You know what I mean? And I think that's where artists, especially a lot of these indie artists, man, people get lost because you want to be popping, you want to get out there, and you want to follow the trend. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a true music head, you understand that quality and individualism is what makes you who you are. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I had this conversation with Dave Tolliver the other day, one of my good friends, and he tells me all the time, we're all driving on the same highway, but we don't got to drive the same car.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's so true, man, because I feel like individualism, and even some of these artists today, you know what I mean, they may not be the best at lyricism or making records, but I think today, in this day and age, people buy into the artist for who the artist is and not for the music.
Yeah.
And that's why reality shows are so popping nowadays, because people want to buy into who you are as a person. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're a crazy-ass person, whether you're Jocelyn, whether you're Stevie J, whether you're whoever you are, they want to buy into the actual persona that person is and not necessarily the music. And that's why reality shows for music people keep winning. If you're popping on a reality show, you're gonna be popping with your music because people bought into you as a person.
Yeah. Except sometimes those reality shows, to me, I've noticed sometimes the reality show people, they struggle jumping back into the music when they pop because people are like, I don't want to hear your music. I kind of know that struggle too. Like they'll have the attention. They'll have the attention, which is half the battle. That's half the battle.
Exactly.
The attention, you know what I'm saying? So at least you've got their attention. And if you do happen to drop a real live banger, it can really work out for you. But I've noticed that sometimes once people hit like Love and Hip Hop, people start looking at them as looking at their music like, man, they only. Either they feel like, man, they only getting that look because they was on Love and Hip Hop, especially if you didn't have a really big hit record and then you came through and everybody recognizes you more so from the reality show, not your hits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've seen it work both different ways. You know,
I mean,
I don't know.
That's where it goes back to the quality, because I'm like, I think if you've got that light, and by that light I mean a reality show light. But you come back with the music and the quality's not there for music, you know what I'm saying? You only got about so much time to do that. Longevity is not going to be in your side because you don't have any quality.
Yeah, true. That's the big thing I think people don't understand about making, being original and being, you know, quality and being original is the longevity of it. It's the long game. It's not the short game. The short game, you can come here and copycat and do what's hot, and you can pop right now, but 5 years from now, they won't love you. They won't even remember you. You know what I'm saying? Whereas
exactly.
You make timeless music, you can have it. You can literally be, you can do reunion tours, like BBD and shit. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what, man?
Good music.
That's why I tell people, like, if you're going to mess with me because you want to be here for the long run, not because you're getting a quick check. You know what I mean?
Because
I don't do things for a quick check. I do it for the longevity. Long money is a lot better than short money. You know what I mean? I need that from the street. You know what I'm saying? So that's why a lot of these artists, these legends that I work with, the Bone Crushers, the Music Soul Childs, whoever it may be, they do records with me and they work with me because they mess with me as a person, generally. You know what I mean? It's not just the bread. It's not me paying for a feature. They do records with me because they rock with me as a person and they rock with my music. And that's why I've never had to pay for a feature in my life when it came to music. And even the times that I tried to pay it, you know what I'm saying, they would turn it back like, nah, we don't need that. We're good. And that's because people know what quality is, and they also know they're dealing with a good person. And I think that also goes a long way, man. That goes back to the whole conversation we had at the panel about relationships.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And relationships is everything. So now we got to jump into the music. We run out of time. What's up here? Chop it up. We get to play some shit. All right, K100 Radio.
Yes,
I'm your host, Blizzom. What's going on, everybody? Checking out right now a direct line interview with the homie International Nova. You feel me? We're finna get ready to jump into the music, man. You can hit us up. The time is running down, 347-934-0966. So we definitely want to make sure that we get some of this music in. I got a couple of joints. I'm going to let you tell me what you want these people to really hear, International Nova. You feel me? I got a couple of joints by you. I've got Photogenic. I've got Pick Up the Phone. Let's see. Turn Up, Turn It Up. Which one you want to rock?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Let's do that Turned Up, man, because that's my new single. It was me and the big homie, ATL legend Bone Crusher. And, you know, I don't know if you caught the actual performance, Blizzom, after our little panel, but, you know, I brought Bone Crusher on stage, and we definitely did the record live, and it was super dope.
Yeah, I had to leave because that event started way later than what it was supposed to when I already had to go somewhere else. You know how that is. You know what I'm saying? When people
yeah,
be like,
man.
Yeah, you on CP time, but everybody ain't, so I got to go. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, yes, that's the reason why I didn't see any area. Old boy Mahomes was posting the pictures, I was like, all that went down? And he was like, yeah.
Man, it was legendary,
great.
Bro. Legendary.
Great. I was like, great. Yeah, I had to miss all of that because it started hours. That's another story for another day. Right now, he ain't never scared. International Nova. We're going to check out Turned Up right here on K100 Radio, 347-934-0966. That's the number down to the show. Let's check out this music. You dig?
Yes, sir.
K100Radio.com at K100_radio on Twitter and Instagram. Yo, that was the home of International Nova featuring Bone Crusher to Turn up. You know what I'm saying? We didn't want the end of the broadcast and the end of this interview, but we're going to ride out with one more song, man. And we got another art. We got one more interview coming up for you guys. If you're calling in to check out, if you're calling in or listening in to check out DJ Will Money, who's scheduled to come up at 5, we're going to be a little bit late. Just pause. Don't go anywhere. Ride out. Just chill out. Listen to some of this music. Listen to this conversation. DJ Will Money is coming right up after our next interview. All right? So don't go anywhere. So DJ Will Money, Street Anthem Live. It comes on right after our next interview. We got one more we had to squeeze in because we had a glitch last week. We couldn't really knock all these interviews out that we had scheduled, so we kind of had to push one or two shows back a little bit. It's good. You got some entertainment right here. Go ahead and chill out. Pull up. You know what I'm saying? Sit down. Throw your headphones on and rock with us. Don't go nowhere. Just pause. All right, Nova. We want to
yes,
make sure we get two joints in. I got one more joint. I got time to drop one more, and we'll end it on that one. What's the next one you want us to ride with before we go out?
Man, you know what? Let's do Pick Up the Phone. Pick Up the Phone was produced by James Worthy, Grammy-nominated producer, my brother, and it features my brother Tony Sunshine, former of Terror Squad, and Shorty Mac, Ray J's artist as well.
All right, man. We're going to ride out to that one, man. Go ahead and give us all your information, man, your contact information, everything that people can find, the music, your website, everything. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, yeah. You know, social media, man, it's all International Nova. You know what I'm saying? The website, it's internationalnova.com, ITSinternationalnova.com. Follow me, subscribe, you know what I'm saying? Hit me. I respond back. I might slide in a DM or two. You know, I definitely show some love, man.
You know, ladies. You know how it goes.
Shouts out to the ladies. Shouts out to the ladies.
Hey, all of you DM. Want a DM. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
I'm saying. We show love. We always show love, you know?
Absolutely, man. All right, International, we're going to ride out. Pick up the phone. Do it now.
Yes, sir.
We're coming up with our next interview next. Pause. Don't go anywhere. DJ Will Money coming on for 3 Live right after that. Chill out. Let's get it. K100 Radio.
Picking up either, cause I be calling for two ain't on a receiver. If I'm the problem, baby, we finna start that. If you the problem, baby, you need to dead that. We popping bottles and whipping phones. It's Shorty Mac with International Nova, so don't forget that.
This might be the last time that I might call you, girl. King DJ I Am. We turned up every single Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you listen to us on the web. We are worldwide.
MidwestMixtapes.com, the number one website for Midwest rap. MidwestMixtapes.com. They promote and market albums, mixtapes, singles, and videos. MidwestMixtapes.com. They can get you on DJ conference calls, blogs, and email blasts. MidwestMixtapes.com. They work with several magazines, college radio campaigns, and street teams in multiple cities.
And we're back. K100 Radio, what up? 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. Welcome, everybody, to the broadcast. I appreciate everybody tuning in. You know what it is. Time for our last interview, though. All right, man. Y'all, I told you we're doing three of them back-to-back. If you're tuning in right now to check out DJ Will Money, be patient. He's coming up. Street Anthem Live is coming up right after this interview. What's going on, man? Right now, we got Johnny O. Johnny, I think I sent him.
What's
going on, bro?
Man, ain't nothing. I can't complain.
What's going on, man? Welcome to K100 Radio. What's good, man? Thank you, man. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our broadcast real quick.
Word. Thank you for the opportunity, man. This is Johnny O from Buffalo, New York. I'm an artist. Just trying to expand my brand. And hopefully, man, this is a start right here with this interview.
Absolutely, man. You know, let's go ahead and get into it. So you said you're an artist, a little more specific.
Yeah.
What kind of R&B artist, hip-hop artist?
No, well, I do hip-hop, you know what I mean? But I meant, what I meant by artist is, like, I want to be, like, multi-dimensional. Like, I just don't want to just stick with making music. I want to branch off to expanding my brand into maybe clothing one day, shoes. I do a little bit of acting as well, so maybe I could get on a sitcom or something, Power, something like that.
Right. Got big plans, basically. Got big plans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Be the big man.
All right, so first of all, well, you know, give us the plug real quick. How did you get hooked up with us over here at K100 Radio? I like to always try to bring that up and tell people how sometimes we meet some of the artists that we meet and how that went down. How did you get plugged in with K100 Radio?
For sure, man. The good people at Media Managing basically put me down on it. They set up the interview for me, and here we are now. So shout out to them for helping me push the brand.
So, you know, it's interesting that you said that you know, an artist in New York right now. Back in the day, not in the very distant past, if you said that, it's kind of like if you say somebody's from New York, you kind of had a general expectation of what the music would be like. Now, that's not necessarily the case anymore. You know what I'm saying?
True.
It's just not, you know what I'm saying? Right now, you know, especially when it comes to hip hop, you know what I'm saying? The artists that are, you know, that are representing and coming from New York right now, you know, you never really know if they from New York or maybe the west side of Atlanta. Everything's kind of been adopted up there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? What do you have to say about that? That's an artist that's coming from up there. I hear a lot of people talking about nowadays, you know, New York music has kind of lost its identity. Like, it doesn't have that only that authentic kind of New York sound. What do you say when people say that? What do you think?
Well, I mean, for the most part, that held true, but I do believe that it's actually coming back toward that New York sound. I mean, you got artists like Dave East, Young & May. She got one of the hardest tracks out right now, that Ooh, and it's like it got like a New York feel in my eyes. Like, I just feel as though, like, a lot of the artists, to be honest, well, speaking for myself, I was influenced by the South. You figure, like, I mean, when the South got popping, like, we've been in tune since then, as far as No Limit, Cash Money, You're So So Deaf, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. So it's an influence there. Like, that music kind of raised a lot of the new generation. So that's why you may hear a little bit of the twang in it, but then I still feel like you got to stay true to your core, because before I knew any of those artists, I was a fan of the Biggies, the Jay-Z's, and, you know, artists like that, Nas. I'm from Buffalo, New York, which is like 6 hours away from the city of New York, so I was influenced by it all.
Right. And I notice sometimes people from, you know, people that's from different parts of New York, they do tend to sound a little bit different from people that's from the boroughs, of course, obviously. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Definitely, you know what I mean? But I just always ask that question when I meet people from now, because the music industry is changing so much, and just the way that people are creating music and the way the music is sounding from different regions, it's like, just, man, 10 years ago, maybe, yeah, I'd say a decade ago, you just wouldn't have thought it would have been where it's at, just coming from a fan of music and listening to how music is coming out, like somebody like Designer, you feel what I'm saying? You know, coming from
out of there,
and it's like, you know what I'm saying?
True. I think it's just, man, where it got to the point where artists was chasing a hit instead of trying to identify themselves or, you know, stand out. It was kind of like monkey see, monkey do. So I think that was kind of one of the reasons. And like I said, man, we influenced by all that. Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying? As big as he was, he T-Pain started it, but he brought that auto tune to it, and now most artists use auto tune. So it's just like that influence. That's what we knew or know.
Right. So what is it that you plan on bringing to the game that's original? What's Johnny O gonna bring to the game that's just different, that you feel is different, and no one else will be able to bring to the game?
Right. I mean, I'm telling my story. You know, it may seem similar to this man or that one, but it's from my perspective and, you know, my POV. So I'm just coming, man. I'm just bringing, like, man, energy, positivity, lyrics. You know what I'm saying? And, man, just creativity, man. Music that, you know what I mean, got some a meaning behind it and things like that. Or, you know, mood music, things that you could play when you're feeling down or when you're feeling up. That's the type of music I'm trying to bring to the game.
And exactly.
Stuff
now,
that get played, like, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, you said that you wanted to tell your story. What I was going to ask you is, give me the craziest story that's ever happened to you in your life. Because if it's that crazy, I'm pretty sure you put it into a song. At least every artist I know put their crazy ass stories into a song, right? Even if they exaggerate a little bit or change the names to protect the innocent. You know what I'm saying? They tend to go ahead and tell me the craziest shit that's ever happened to you, and did you make a song about it?
I mean, all the time, or like I may just like talk about it in like a lyric or something. I mean, just dealing with like things as far as like, for example, I wanted to talk about this. Like, I mean, it's just a little off topic. But right now we're dealing with, like, issues as far as, like, you got the Black Lives Matter and, like, cops. You're dealing with cops and stuff, and it seems like they're against us. And I've always felt, though, in not all instances. I was in a situation yesterday where, man, I got pulled over, and it could have turned left for me. You know what I'm saying? But I was lucky enough to I believe the way I handled myself kind of got me out that situation. But, I mean, like, man, I got points on my license. I was speeding, you know, just riding dirty and stuff like that. So it's like, man, like, you just always got to be, like, conscious of your surroundings, what you're doing and things. And it's like, man, like, treat a situation. Don't judge a book by its cover, basically. You know, So I basically just feel as though, like, man, I want to just make that music that, man, bring unity and just, man, like, show that it's not all the same. You know what I mean? Like, you be put in certain situations, but it's a possibility to overcome. You know, like, man, my mom just beat breast cancer, stuff like that. I make music dealing with that. Like, just, man, just everyday life things. I mean, I party as well. You know, I like to smoke good weed and all that, but, I mean, there's more to life than the material things, stuff like that.
Exactly. Now, I noticed that you said that, you know, not in all instances, and, you know, I don't think that the Black Lives Matter or the situations with the cops is every single cop. I think I would speak for me personally. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I think most people take issue ones who do the things that they do and the fact that they can get away with it. We all know that everybody's not bad, and every white person's not a racist. Every black person ain't no ignorant thug. And every cop isn't a dirty, bad, crooked cop. But the problem is the fact that the ones that are can get away with it, and they have been getting away with it. I think that's pretty much the biggest issue out of all of it. You know what I'm saying? I would say that, listen, me personally, I'm a person that says, you know what, fuck the police until they get it right. And once they get it right, hey, it's the cops. What's going on, bro? You know what I'm saying? But until they fix the problem, it's fuck them until they fix the problem, until they at least stop ignoring the problem. Like, you can't stop people's action. You can't stop a cop from doing what they're going to do because they're human. The point is the repercussions of what they do. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
It's the repercussions. The system,
like, I'm a human.
Repercussions. You know, the repercussions can be easily fixed. You shot somebody. Did you have to shoot them? No, you're fired. And you're probably going to go and get indicted. If that happens, people will shut up about the cops. The people will go back to just it would be a lot easier. But instead of denying culpability all the time, going to the union saying we have a tough job, everybody got a fucking tough job, but you signed up for that. You didn't get drafted, so you knew the rules, you know the risk.
Right.
So I think that's more so what people say. They're mad about the police or fuck the police or whatever. It's because of them not really just wanting to own up to their flaws and punish those responsible, more so than everybody thinking all police are fucked up. I've actually had met some cool cops. I'm saying that live on the air now. You feel me? But I still keep a fuck the police attitude because I understand that one cop is not indicative of the whole culture of policing. You know what I'm saying? I just got lucky that day, like you did. You got lucky that day. You know what I'm saying? It could have went left. It goes left for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? That's my thing, I guess, when talking about stuff like that.
I think it's word.
Yeah, so, but that's just kind of the way I look at it. But let's jump to another subject. As an independent artist right now, tell me about the independent artist scene in New York. Like, I meet people all the time, and I'm at these conferences, and I'm at these events, and New York has a lot of plugs and opportunities and stuff just like Atlanta, but I meet a lot of New York independent artists who saying they're trying to get down to Atlanta because it's just more of an accepting environment for independent artists. What's the artist like creating and going out and networking, and how do people accept and look at independent artists up there where you at?
Yes. Well, like, once again, I want to, like, make it be known as far as, like, the difference. Like I said, I'm from Buffalo, New York. Here,
right,
it's not too many opportunities. You got to actually reach out and make yourself be known. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a crabs in a barrel mentality. But the more and more I hear other artists telling their story, it's kind of the same thing in their city. So I feel like, man, you got to, like, reach out to these outlets in different cities to try to expand your buzz. It may be a little easier for somebody in the New York City area. Like, you got the satellite radio and all that. You got, like, SOB. You could go perform up there.
Right.
You know, in, like, little clubs like that. I know they used to have, like, the what's the place they had the Troy Ave incident in that? But I think it was, like, the Irvine Theater or something like that. So it is opportunities, but that's more so, like, 6 hours away. Where I'm from, everything I done did thus far, I done basically created, like, by, like, taking risk. You know what I mean? Trying to put your video on Worldstar, trying to get on this blog, that blog, using social media as an outlet. So it's basically just about, the more and more I hear people's story, I think it's just about how bad do you want it and what opportunities are you willing to take in order to expand what you're doing.
Yeah, and you use the internet. Well, okay, so you're saying that we understand that you're from Buffalo, and that's a little bit farther away from New York. 6 hours is a drive. No one just up and drive 6 hours. You know what I'm saying? My hometown is 5 hours away from here, and I just don't go often because I ain't going to make the five-hour drive unless it's necessary, unless I want to. I'm up for it. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that. So
right.
6 hours is a nice little drive. So, but that being said, you said that you're using it and you're reaching out to Worldstar and all these different kind of blogs and stuff. So basically right now, you would contend and say that the internet is pretty much the most powerful tool that you have. I mean, this whole conversation is going down and being broadcast on Facebook Live and everything and being able to happen because of the phone and the internet. So basically what you're saying is right now, the internet is pretty much how you kind of expanding your brand. Really?
Correct, yeah. Like the internet is kind of like the label. I mean, I've been taking this rap thing serious probably since about 2010, 2011. So I'm still in the process of, like, wrapping my mind around the internet, using Twitter more as far as, like, tweeting and trying to interact with different artists, building a brand that way. But, I mean, like, it's almost to the point where it seemed like you don't even need a label as much. Like, you could set up something through your iTunes or your Amazon Tidal and put your music on there, have it streaming that way. Set up a website to put merchandise on. You could do a Tumblr and things like that. And
right.
You could even shop for beats on different websites. So it's kind of more so like a do-it-yourself attitude in this era, I believe.
Yeah.
Until they come looking for you.
Definitely. I had a conversation with the caller before you, the interview before you, and we talked about DIY, do-it-yourself. That's pretty much the way you have to be. There is really no option for indie.
Right.
I don't care if you're in New York. I don't care if you're in Buffalo or the boroughs or Atlanta. You have to be a DIY musician at this particular point. There is no getting around it. I don't understand people who don't get that. That's why I tell people all the time, like, look, you can't just be a rapper anymore. You got to be a rapper, nah. a mini graphic designer, a mini video editor, a mini social media marketer. You got to do all of these different things if you want to have success, because everybody out there is already doing it. So if you think you're going to just go to your boy's house, smoke a blunt, get in the booth, and then go out and party, hang and get in the booth and make some music, and then you're going to take off, you can just forget it. It's not going to happen for you like that. It's not.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think that people have to understand that aspect of everything when you're talking about, you know, the music industry and being an independent artist. Let's go to the next subject. And we'll get to the music in a second. K1Radio.com, 347-934-0966. Right now, we're on the line with Johnny O, representing Buffalo, New York. You know what I'm talking about? Checking in with us on K100 Radio. You can hit the phone lines up, 347-934-0966, if you want to holler at them. We're live right now. If you are waiting for Street Anthem Live with DJ Will Money, we're running a little bit late. Pause for a second. He's coming right up next. All right. But let's get back to the homie over here, Johnny O. So,
yes, sir.
Right now, tell us about the project that you're working on and some of the music, and we're going to get ready to play some of this. Let me see. What's the name of the joint we got? Waves. We got Waves by Johnny O. Yeah. We got Waves on deck.
Right.
But tell us about the project that you're working on right now.
Got you. Waves is basically the next single we gearing up to push. Like, we putting it all behind that one. I've been sitting on the record for a little while now. I met with the producer. His name is Press Play. I went out to California back in April, and I shot a video out there, and I rubbed shoulders with him, and he threw me the beat. I went back out there in June for the BET Awards. I recorded a little bit of it there, and then when I got back to Buffalo, the city, and I basically just finished it up there. So we just been waiting on the right time to drop it. I plan on shooting a video soon. We got an artist under his label, which is her name is Bree. She's singing on the hook. So, man, it just got, like, it got that feel to it. You know, it's kind of like one of those, like, remind me of, like, some, like, Rick Ross, Wiz Khalifa type of, like, one of them type of records.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into that joint right now. K100 Radio. This is Johnny O. This is the first time on K100 Radio, the first time we ever played this song. So this is a premiere. We're finna ride the wave right now with Johnny O. Check it out, K100 Radio.
To the max B. Eat it if you ask me. In the street she classy, in the sheet she nasty. It's you I like hard, you my type, ma. If I get to drowning, baby, send in the lifeguard. To be specific, in the ingot like Atlantic. Cold is the Antarctic, make me wanna get romantic. Feel me in your stomach, it's like I touched the ocean floor. I done brought sand at the beach, she got me open shore. Pine the river, the Tijuana for me. She reached the climax and came 30 times for me. Pain is pleasure, so she tell me make it hurt more. Make that nookie burst pole whenever she do the surfboard.
Baby, you could be my slogan. You the words I like to speak. I will always be devoted. Open your mind so you can see. You could build up as much as you want. Smoke up as much as you want. Do me and you can do what you want. I will never fuck up your zone. My way can crush down all your walls. Right in my way, can make it worth it all.
This your boy Chris Brown.
K100 Radio.
Brand new. Brand new.
Music first.
Yeah. K100 Radio, what's going on? What's popping? I'm your host, Blitz. Thanks everybody for rocking into the show. That was Waze by Johnny Yo. Yo, that joint was dope, though. I fuck with that joint.
For real, bro?
Yeah, nah, I fuck
appreciate
with it.
I'm
rocking with that one. And I'm just saying that because you interviewing with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't say that all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Excuse me. But I think that fucking beat and that hook, and you rode the track. And you know what I'm saying? That's like, you got you one right there, homie. I think that's a really dope-ass cut. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're going to rock with that a little bit longer over here at K100 Radio. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
I'm
real
trying,
shit.
I'm trying, man. Thank you. Appreciate
that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, I'm not just saying that. People, trust me, if you knew me, if you really knew me and you followed me on social media, you know the last thing I do is tell people I like shit I don't like, especially music. You know what I'm saying? So,
word.
Yeah, if I tell you that I fuck with a joint, I fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going to get us some burn over here on K100 Radio. You know, I'm pretty sure you don't have to. I just want to make sure I tell you this because we just run into a lot of indies that don't do it. I'm pretty sure you got that done already. But, you know, make sure that song is encoded with, you know, with BDS because we are BDS bonded the station so we can get your spins up. So if you haven't taken that step yet, make sure you go and do that ASAP. You know what I'm saying? So when we plan it, you can actually get your BDS count up. If you don't know what that is, of course, you can always Google that. And I'm pretty sure your management team or if it's already been done, kudos to you. But if you haven't done that, make sure you do it because I'm going to give it some burn. I fuck with it. I fuck with
already.
It.
Yeah. Appreciate that, bro.
Absolutely, man. Dope record. All right. So we got DJ Will Money getting ready to come up right now next with Street Anthems Live. You feel what I'm saying? What else you got in store for the project? Who else you working with? And what else you got going on? What else is slated to be on that joint? Because I'm liking how that one sounds right now.
Yeah, man. Basically, man, we just trying to build momentum, man, to see what's next as far as my team and all that. Like I said, we just building a brand. This is basically the first record of many to come. Like, besides that, like, right now, people can check out on YouTube. I got a video called Fever, which I shot back in California around April. And it got a good feel to it, man. Basically, man, I'm just trying to make feel-good music for the people. Like, just, you know what I mean, something that you can play all purposes. Like, I want my music to be able to be played in a stadium, at a ballpark, during the playoffs, or even at your picnic or your birthday party, stuff like that. Just music to uplift and get you, you know what I mean, time for going.
Yeah, definitely, man. That one right there, that one. I'm pretty sure you're going to come with some different stuff. That one right there put me really in the mood of just laid back and just kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Who was that on the hook again?
Her name's Bree. Right. Her name Bree. Yep, she's an artist on the producer. His name Press Play on his label. One of the artists she worked with. And man, she just brought a good feeling to that record.
Yeah, she did. She has a real Genie Aku feel. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the vibe that she put me in. And I'm a big fan of her music, just from a music lover. And I thought she had a fucking stellar introduction to the game. And once you can put me in the mood of her, you already got one half the battle. And the production. So, you know, good joint. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're going to rock with it. All right.
All right.
So tell so real quick, we got to get ready to get up out of here. We got DJ Will Money coming up right next. He's coming up next, you guys. So if you guys are tuning in to catch Street Anthem Live, again, we had to be a little, we had to push back a little bit because we had to make sure we had to gain some ground from our technical issues last week and cover all our interviews that we had scheduled. But tell everybody how they can get to your website and anything else you got, bro.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like I said, I'm on all the social media platforms. You can check my music out through my Instagram. My Instagram name is at YZ, the letters YZ, the number 4, ever, EVA. That's YZ forever. That's my Twitter name as well. Like I said, I got music on SoundCloud. You can type in Johnny O, Buku Slugs. My music will come up that way as well. And then, like, I got videos on YouTube that you can check out through my page. And like I said, just be expecting more. 2017 is when I really plan on embarking and letting the world know who I am. Right now, we're just doing the groundwork with this record Waves, just trying to build a little momentum. And be looking out for a video real soon, man. It's going to be something real sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would definitely suggest a visual for that joint. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shout out to my homie James, representing from Panama City. He said that hook was real smooth. He's listening to us and watching us on Facebook Live. You feel what I'm saying? So shout out to the homie. Everybody is checking us out.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Over there on Facebook Live.
James, I appreciate that, bro. Word.
Absolutely. Big ups to the Facebook Live crew checking in. All right, Johnny, yo, man. I appreciate you sitting up here chopping it up with us on K100 Radio, man. Yo, again, you got a dope record. You got your one in your hands. I really like that one. We're going to rock with it over here at K100 Radio, bro. Definitely. So you should be seeing those.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man.
Thank
All right, appreciate it, man.
I definitely plan on coming to Atlanta real soon, man. Maybe I can come to the station and, man, we do a face-to-face interview, get a little more familiar, man, because I definitely appreciate this look right here.
Absolutely, bro. All right, man. Thanks for tuning in, rocking with us, man. I appreciate it, man. Keep the grind up, bro.
All day.
Absolutely. All right. I appreciate everybody's patience, everybody that's waiting for DJ Will Money to go live on K1's Radio. If you're calling in, he's got some special featured guest artists for his indie spotlight. So we're definitely going to go ahead and not hold it off any longer, man. I appreciate everybody that's rocking with us over here on Facebook Live. Big ups to you guys. Thanks for rocking with us. Check out all of these interviews and more on our SoundCloud. Check out our SoundCloud page. Go to soundcloud.com/K100 Radio. Just type it in the search. All these interviews, if you miss any parts of them, they'll always be over on our SoundCloud page. The interviews, we're going to start putting those up on the YouTube page also that we're recording from the direct lines and stuff. We're going to start putting those up on the interview on the YouTube page also, so you can watch them over there too if you missed the Facebook Live. But, of course, the Facebook Live is always going to be up. We don't destroy those either. Follow our Facebook page. Please do that. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at K100_radio. You can see it right down there, K100_radio, and connect with us beyond when we're live. And tune in. The music is riding 24/7. I guarantee you listen to us for 30 minutes, you're going to hear a couple of songs you probably never heard and a couple of songs you like already. You dig? All right? I'm your host, Blizzard. Thanks, everybody, for rocking with us. DJ Will Money is on deck. It's Street Anthem Live right now.
This is the hottest station in the game. Let's go.
K100 Radio, Atlanta.
Yo, it's Paige Kiki, and right now you are tuned into Street Anthems Live right here on K100 Radio.
Call DJ. DJ Calvador Dada, a.k.a. We the Best. Who? We. DJ Will Money. You know what it is, man. You got that fire. More fire. Cincinnati, stand up.
Call DJ. Call DJ.
Hey, yo, 513, what it do? It's yours truly, the DJ Screen Hood, Rich Maybach Music Representer. Shout out my dog, DJ Will Money. Always out here, get to the money.
Yeah, this is your man, DJ Will Money, and right now you tuned in to Street Anthems Live right here on K100 Radio. Yeah!
Call DJ!
cool DJ.
I go on and on, can't understand how I last so long. I must have the superpowers, last 223,000 hours, and it's cause I'm off of CC, and I'm off the Hennessy. And like your boy from Compton said, you know this ain't free. I got girls that I should've made pay for it, got girls that I should've made wait for it. I got girls that'll cancel a flight back home, stay another day for it. You got attitude on 99, yo, on agua, yo, stomach on flat, and yo, on what's that, and yeah, I need it all right now. Last year I had drama, girl, not right now. I was never gonna chat, what we talking about? You the only one I know could fit. Man, I always wonder if you ask yourself, is it just me? Is it just me? Or-